This is the Lunch Rush, where we take a look at the top stories trending nationally throughout the sports world. A lot of NFL stories, obviously. Fallout for the teams that are no longer in the playoffs, teams that just lost. How about this one? Buccaneers fire offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich, who, his name, by the way, was certainly in the mix with a lot of openings as far as head coach last year. His name was hot and heavy. People were very interested in talking to Byron Leftwich. But a really bad offense this year, going 8-9 overall, it just wasn't good. I mean, they fell significantly from 2022 to this year. They averaged 18 points per game. That was 25th in the NFL. They had the league's worst rushing attack. They averaged 77 yards per game. And then Tom Brady had to throw a career high. 756 passing attempts at age 45. That's not the way that should be going. You should be just throwing. He threw 66 against Dallas in the playoff game. Is this, now they're having a major overhaul here. They have hired their a specialist coach. They've hired their wide receivers coach, their offensive quality control coach, assistant defensive line coach, and running backs coach. And then some other coaches are just moving on. They're just retiring or whatever. Is this overhaul a part of a complete rebuild in Tampa Bay? Meaning they know Tom Brady's gone. It's time to move on from our Super Bowl year and rebuild? Sure seems like it.
It sounds like it. With all the Brady rumors going around, it feels like this is more of a mutual parting of ways, it seems. And it feels like the organization knew this is probably going to happen this year. So Let's just get in front of it and focus on our rebuild. They do have their first-round pick is number 19 as of right now. So not really in range for a quarterback.
Not one of the top two.
You could jump up to try to get somebody else. Let's see. They have a second and a third pick as well. So you have some capital if you want to move up there.
Tampa Bay is about ready to be bad for a while, I think.
Yeah.
I think so. We'll see what happens with Tom Brady at some point, I'm sure. All right. The NFL announces their five teams to play games abroad in 2023. The Bills, the Titans, the Jags, the Chiefs, and the Patriots will each host international games during the NFL's regular season. The Chiefs and the Patriots will host games in Germany. The Bills, Titans, and Jags will play in London. The Bills and Titans are designated home teams for two games, while the Jags will host a game at Wembley Stadium as part of their multi-year commitment to playing at United Kingdom. Jags play in London all the time.
Yeah, I think they're contractually tied to that.
They're just going
to
move there. They should just move the team there. Although now, with them being a playoff team, completing the third biggest comeback ever in playoff history, Trevor Lawrence, Doug Peterson, like, there's kind of some reasons now to look at Jacksonville and go, okay, they kind of have some attractive parts about their organization at this stage.
Yeah, so this will be interesting for the international thing as more and more exposure to the NFL is going on over there. I'm seeing rumors that Miami KC in Germany or Miami New England find it hard to see if they would schedule a divisional opponent like that. But KC, Miami, and Germany would be awesome.
Would be interesting. Brandon Staley has been aware of the ongoing speculation regarding his status as the Chargers head coach. But he said, I wasn't really worried. He said bluntly, when he was asked in a press conference if he felt that his job was in danger, he said no. Bluntly, just no. He said, I have a lot of confidence in how we do things here and what we've been able to accomplish. He's right in the sense that, Angel, this team, 19-15 in the two seasons with the Chargers, 19-15. Not the greatest in the world, but it's over 500, which we're seeing Broncos track record and a lot of teams with coaches, new coaches are bringing in 19-15 and a playoff berth. Those are all good things. If you just said 19-15 and a playoff berth, I'd probably say, yeah, you can't fire the guy. But when you look at how they've done things, should have been in the playoffs last year, the way they handled the Raiders situation, should have beat the Jaguars. You're up 27-0 in a playoff game. Yeah, you're the better team. You should have beat the Jaguars. So that has been a big issue But the Chargers fired their offensive coordinator, and they're firing other people, their quarterback's coach, and they're saying, no, we're sticking with Brandon Staley, which, again, does impact the Sean Payton thing. I thought for sure, Angel, if they lost that game, that Staley would be gone. And then I thought even more for sure, they lost 27-0 lead. I thought, oh, that's an epic collapse. But the players have come out in support of him, including Bosa, one of their team leaders. They said they like the guy. They want to keep the guy. Bad move by the Jags? Or pressure on the Chargers. Pressure on the Chargers for next year, meaning if they don't get it right, Staley's out. Does a Sean Payton wait around for a job like that? Because that was an attractive job, we thought. It's Los Angeles. He lives there. Does he wait another year to see what happens with the Rams still? It's not like Sean McVay is untouchable. They have another crappy season. You're wondering what's going to be the future. He may decide to quit again next year. He may. Or they may move on.
I think it's interesting with McVay and Staley in that I think Staley will go into the season on the hot seat. I think McVay, with his tenure there and what he's done with that organization, I think he's bought himself some time. And if he's coming back knowing the situation that they're in, you kind of give him some slack because, hey, we're kind of rebuilding here with the Rams a little bit. We have our older guys on defense and offense, but we're transitioning out of the post-Super Bowl team into what they're going to be in the next 4 or 5 years. With Staley, it's if they start 2-8, he could be very similar to Nathaniel Hackett, fired mid-season.
Yeah, he could be. And I've just seen enough weird things from him. I just think the Chargers, I mean, they have a top quarterback. Justin Herbert has moved up. So they're going to win games regardless of who the head coach is. And I know the coach matters. I know head coaching matters, definitely. But if in this league you have a good quarterback, you're going to win games and maybe you shouldn't sometimes. So I was a little shocked by the old Brandon Staley thing. That was a shocker. But it does eliminate another team from the Sean Payton sweepstakes. The poll question of the day, do you have any issue with Sean Payton's Bountygate background when considering him for the next head coaching job? Tom says, I have more of an issue with his salary demands and compensation to New Orleans, if both rumors are true. Well, there's no rumors. I don't know if what rumors you're talking about, unless you're saying that the rumors of him wanting $23 to $26 million and the rumor of it's going to cost you multiple draft picks, those are not rumors. That's what it is. He wants to be paid $23 to $26 million a year. And the Saints, everything we're hearing from ESPN and NFL Network insiders is that the going rate is going to be a first rounder for sure. Probably a second rounder in next year's draft, and then a third or a fourth rounder, depending on what teams can offer. So that's all true. That's what it's going to take to get Sean Payton here. Does Sean Payton know football? Can he lead a group of people? Yes, he can. I've seen him do it. He did it for years. I know Drew Brees was his quarterback, but you still got to get there. He can do those things. And if he were a free agent and didn't have to trade for him, am I willing to put the Bountygate stuff aside? I'm still scratching my head that he's even allowed to coach, but that's not my decision. They're letting him coach. So if the NFL deems you okay to clear to coach again because of all that stuff, which they clearly did because he kept coaching with the Saints, then who am I to say you can't go after a guy because of that? It's the NFL. We're not the moral police. If the NFL says, the morality police, I should say, if the NFL says you can coach and you're going to be in this league, then I guess you should go after the guy. And I've always kind of thought that with guys that get into trouble. If the court of law, first off, says you're okay, then yeah, NFL is going to allow you to play. I just think it's funny. I just think it's interesting. It's kind of frustrating because you hear all the safety protocol stuff and then you go, wait, you got a bunch of guys that were a part of some kind of a scheme to pay players, to hurt players that are still out and about. Just, it's fascinating to me. The NFL, what they can get away with, what they can do. But if Sean Payton would have bet on a game, doctor, get out of here, which I agree. You can't be betting on games. We're talking about fixing games then. I'm just saying. That didn't necessarily... I'm going to say this, and it's probably going to sound controversial. According to the NFL, Deflategate was cheating, right? Bountygate wasn't cheating. You enticed guys to go break a dude's leg. It's not cheating. I mean, it is. It's not to get a... You're not doing it to give yourself an upper hand or the upper edge. So that's why I think the NFL looked at Deflategate very similar to Bountygate. And again, Brady only got four games. Peyton got a year. But they really don't want you messing with the game itself. Bountygate was a big... Should have been a bigger scandal than it was. I mean, if you think about it, this should have been a lot bigger than it was. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Holyoke, Broncos should just let the coordinators coordinate and have a celebrity hype man jump in week to week for inspiration. So Colin Cowherd said that Russell Wilson contacted Sean Payton just to talk. And again, it's above board. He can legally do that kind of thing. This just kind of goes again to show you where Russell Wilson is and everybody else is. He's contacting the head coach. Do you think George Payton knew about this? Or Greg Penner? Is that okay? I mean, once the deal's done, sure. Make a phone call. Talk about winning the Super Bowl. But there's no deal done right now. What was that conversation like, I wonder? Hey, you could be in the office right next to me. That'd be great. It's just another thing about Russ that even if I'm Sean Payton and I get that phone call before, because, I mean, how often do you hear of a Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, any of these guys? Again, they have their coaches. How often do you hear of great quarterbacks before a deal is done and the interview process is still going? How often have you heard that? Have you ever heard that before?
Not that I could think of. I could think if Tom Brady was talking to Josh McDaniels right now, probably, but yeah, okay, it's Tom Brady. He can pick wherever he wants to go. But with Russ, it's you don't really have the cachet to talk right now. Like, you kind of don't have a lot of say in this because you didn't help us a lot this year.
And it's even weird
if
you did.
Yeah, you're the quarterback. We gave you a lot of money. But Sean Payton's not here to coach just Russell. He has to coach the entire team.
Yes, can any of the other players call him? Can Patrick Sertan
give
Sean
Payton a call? Does that create another divide with players?
Yes, I think so.
Do you think Jerry Jeudy says, well I want to say
I want to talk to him.
Patrick Sertan wants to say?
Best player. Justin Simmons? Who you could argue Justin Simmons or Pat Sertan maybe the best player on this team? One of those guys? Jeudy certainly made a case for it the last 5 or 6 weeks. I mean, it's just another weird thing to me. And you're right, on the Tom Brady thing, he's going to be a free agent. So he knows Josh McDaniels. They have each other's number. They probably text all the time. That one's different because there's no negotiating. Well, there will be a negotiating, but there's no trades or anything that has to take place first. Because Josh runs the show over there in Vegas, so he's the perfect one to talk to. And Brady's not under contract. Peyton is under contract with the Saints. And you got a quarterback calling. If I'm Sean Payton taking this call, I'm kind of like, as I'm taking the call and Russ is telling him that he likes him, I'm thinking during the conversation, yeah, this stuff's got to stop. I don't want you calling potential coordinators and potential players and potential guys we're drafting. I want you being the quarterback. I think that's just another strange thing. Is it the worst thing in the world? No. But what it comes down to me, is are you really willing to give up all the picks, all the capital? The rest of the stuff, I suppose I can get away from. I just think it's fascinating that we're in this sports world and not a lot of people are talking about Sean Payton and the way he handled himself the last 3 years when he left New Orleans, or the last 2 years when he left New Orleans, and then all the Bounty Gate stuff. I just think it's fascinating that that's not a topic of conversation for a lot of people. And when it does come up, there is a contingency that says, oh, it happens all the time. That Bounty Gate happens all the time? You're paying guys $8,000 to break somebody's leg? After what we saw with DeMar Hamlin and all the players breaking down and crying, like, what if that would have been on purpose? What if somebody would have hit that guy on purpose and that's what we were doing? I don't know how we can do thoughts and prayers. We're praying for our guy to be healthy. And then Bounty Gate was just kind of, you got a year, but you're right back with the Saints. That's what's fascinating to me. So, who are the favorites right now? Given all that information, DraftKings Sportsbook has Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn at plus 150. Meaning a $100 bet would win 150. And former Saints head coach Sean Payton is at plus 225 as of Wednesday. Quinn and Payton have risen as the favorites, of course, after Jim Harbaugh went back to Michigan. Our guy Zach Stevens the other day said it was going to be Dan Quinn. He was under pressure. You know, we get it. He was in rapid fire. That's where I ask him, don't think, just answer. But he said Dan Quinn. It does feel like, to me, Dan Quinn just makes the most sense from a fiscal standpoint, too. You're not going to pay him $23 million. And you're not trading draft picks. I also watched the segment of Cowherd talking about Russ, calling Sean Payton. And here's what I don't get. Cowherd said that I'm excited to see Sean Payton go to Denver. He would make sense in Denver because they know what they need to fix. They need to fix the offensive line, and they're going to do that through the draft. No, you're not. Not if you trade away all your picks. You're already without your picks this year. You don't have many picks to give up. Good picks, too.
And people say, you know, oh, they have a first-round draft pick. Yeah, in the late 20s.
That they would give up.
Pick number 28 is not, it's basically a second round pick at that point.
No, but it's better than what they have at this point, what they would have without it. Because I've seen plenty of offensive linemen taken in a late first round or a second round. Dalton Reisner, who we'll see how he works out. I don't know if they're going to re-sign him, but for a moment, he was a very serviceable left guard. They drafted him in the second round. So it might not be top 20 or top 15 even, but there's still picks. There's still players that you can bring in. And the more you get rid of them, the more you really have to rely on free agency. And you have to rely on players wanting to come here. And you are paying a quarterback a lot of money. You don't have much money to go get, maybe another A-plus player? That's about it. The rest are going to, if you get an A-plus player, you're going to only have money to go after the rest for C players to fill the rest of your line.
And if that A-plus player wants a big contract.
Correct. And then you don't have money to pay your defensive guys down the road. Patrick Surtain, he's going on his third year. That's going to come up pretty soon if he keeps going in this down this path. They're going to have to pay him big money. Guy like Jerry Jeudy. If you pick up that extension, you're still going to have to pay him next year. Eastside Chris Brady, I'm thinking Tommy to Vegas, Carr to Tampa. Yeah, if I'm Tampa Bay, I'm making that call because you got a lot of work to do and you might want to use that draft pick on something else, maybe an offensive lineman to help that run game. But yeah, that would make perfect sense. 24 minutes after the hour, the Denver Nuggets got it done again last night. 8 in a row for the Nuggets. We'll talk about that on the other side. Nikola Jokic, his 90th triple-double of his career. He passed Alex Ingles in the all-time assist category. He continues to move up the ladder. We'll talk more about that on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Why so serious? To them, you're just a freak. Like me.
Jokic on the season, 16th in the NBA at 25 points per game. Gets the rebound, blocked by Reed. Three blocks already for Minnesota, but Jokic just Too tough to handle down there. But Jokic so good in the high post. Good luck to Porter. And there's Jokic with the assist. Overall is Jokic. And Nasri just rolls his eyes like, what am I supposed to do about that? There's Jokic spinning, working on Nasri. And then is there anybody better in transition with that baseball pass? Jokic in the paint, count it, and one. That's 12 points already for Jokic, and he'll go to the line. Here's Jokic, just quick drive, missed the shot, got it back, puts it in, and a foul. Another basket, another rebound, another three-point opportunity. Jokic fouled again, count it again. The Joker having his way with the Wolves. Of the way is Jokic with a beautiful pass by Caldwell Pope. Rebound Jokic. Here he is in transition. Gets it ahead to Brown. And a great finish. Jokic backing down Reed, trying to get him to foul out. And that's just too easy. Jokic now with 27. Jokic gets it to Gordon for the slam. Jokic with a triple-double for the fifth time in his last six games. Here's Murray on the drive. Stops. Back out to Jokic. Shot clock at four. Jokic down the lane. Gives it up. Gordon with the slam. With 1.7 to shoot. And it makes it a four-point game.
The Joker continues to do it, Angel. Triple-double number 90 for the big man. That was cool. His, what, 14th triple-double of the season? 15th? He passed up Alex English in the all-time assist category for the Nuggets. He is second in total rebounds behind Dan Issel. He's at 5,900. Dan Issel has the record for the Nuggets, 6,630. So what, another season and a half to pass that? If he's averaging 10? No, he could get that. Yeah, he could get that pretty easy, and he's like 700 boards. Points, he is fifth all-time. He is behind David Thompson about 600 points behind him. He's moving up, man. He's got some work to do. He's about 2,000 points behind Carmelo Anthony. I think. No, that's not right. 300 or so. 500. I don't know. I had it pulled up here. Now it's not refreshing. Alex English is at 21,645. It's going to take some work to pass him. Then it's Dan Issel. He's at 16,589. Carmelo's at 13,970. Okay, there it is. David Thompson's at 11,992. Joker's at 11,394. So he's going to pass. He's going to pass all of that, right? Can he get English's points? That's a lot. That's a lot, man. 21,645. You think he can get there? Halfway through his career, you would say, and he's at 11. So if you just did that, 22 maybe. But his point total is going up. He's got a long career still. I mean, he's still got a lot of years left to get there.
He's also only 15 triple-doubles from passing LeBron.
Yeah, he'll get that next year. I don't think he's getting it this year.
Really?
No.
I could see him getting 15 more.
There's only...
Like, LeBron's still playing, so his record's going to keep going up, but you close it within single digits at the end of the year.
He could. That's a lot of triple-doubles in one year, though. He can't be having any of these Sombor doubles anymore.
He's had, like, five of them in the last six games.
Yeah, he's been tearing them up lately. He's been rolling, and the Nuggets have won eight in a row. It's amazing. Last night he did it again. 31 points for him. You start putting a bunch of 30-point games together, you're going to make your job a little bit easier.
On a back-to-back.
Yeah. 13 assists, 11 rebounds. 7-for-7 from the free throw. And this is without hitting three-pointers. He didn't hit one. He didn't take one. And he had 31 points. I'm running out of words for this guy. He just keeps moving up these rankings. Second in rebounds. He'll get the rebound thing next year, I'm guessing. He'll have that. But now he has assists. And Doris Burke's like, again, they're all saying it. Oh, when he retires, he'll go down as the best big man passer ever. Can we stop? Like, what point guard in the league passes better than the Joker? You're kidding me with this stuff. Can we stop with that narrative? He's the best passer. When it's all said and done, he's going to go down as one of the best passers in the, ever. No more the best passing big man.
I'm tired of the big man thing with him because he doesn't play like a big man.
It's just, you're comparing his passing to the likes of Shaquille O'Neal and Hakeem Olajuwon and those guys. That's what's an insult. You need to be comparing his passing to the Steve Nashes and those kind of players. The point guards, because that's what he does. 34 minutes after the hour. Kevin Lytle joining me next from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And don't forget, we have Rams Weekly. A shortened version tonight. We'll go 5 to 5:30 as we'll step aside for Jerry Schimmel on the pregame call for UNC Eastern Washington. So we'll talk all things Rams with Kevin coming up, but even more so with Rams Weekly at 5 o'clock this afternoon. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Just 39 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. Joining me now, our next guest on the First Advantage Hotline, or text hotline, there it is, hotline, Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. Text, phone, call, you know, they all run the same nowadays, man. Kevin, good to get you on the program, my friend.
Always good to be here, Brady.
I'm looking forward to Rams Weekly. It's a shorter version today, but that's okay. We'll pack a punch. We'll go at 5 o'clock. We'll be done at 5:30. Sending it over to Jerry Schimmel on the call tonight for UNC and Eastern Washington, so a big matchup there. But, Kevin, CSU loses last night. They lose in overtime. They had the lead over San Diego State at halftime, but you pair that with the win against UNLV, which was just absolutely insane. Do you feel like this team is starting to turn a corner?
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely if you kind of look at the, you know, 30,000-foot view and kind of push aside the, you know, frustration of, you know, a game that could have been won last night, yeah, there's no doubt that this last week has been a good sign for CSU that they, yeah, have maybe turned a corner a little bit, figured some things out a little bit, and are moving in the direction you would hope they are, because no doubt those, you know, the efforts they gave, especially defensively in these last two games, are really, you know, what you need to see from this team after that Air Force game. And really, that Air Force game was so bad that it obviously took, you know, a lot of shine off. But really, it's been four of the last five. CSU's had a pretty decent effort. They were, you know, the Nevada game was somewhat similar of one they could have won and were right in it. Obviously, they're very good against Fresno, very good against UNLV, and pretty good against San Diego State. So, yeah, I think if you're a CSU fan, you have to hope that the trajectory is going in the right way now.
Maybe it looks like that Air Force game was more of an outlier, that maybe that was just a really, 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 really bad night, and maybe the real team that we're seeing is the one that, you know, duked it out with San Diego State, the one that beat UNLV, and as you said, the one that took it to Nevada pretty good, didn't win, but it was a good game. So maybe those are all really good signs going forward for Colorado State.
Yeah, I think you have to hope that that's the case. I mean, I don't think we can necessarily call it fully an outlier because they've had other games like that with, you know, UNC. Colorado is a little bit different situation, but they've, you know, had several of these kind of bad games. So maybe not an outlier, but yeah, not the norm, or, you know, what we've seen the last week is more, you know, the expectation what the team, you know, probably is and will be moving forward.
So, Kevin, take us through last night's game against the Aztecs. The Rams have the lead at the half, 34-28. What was working for CSU, and then obviously what ultimately got them in the end, allowing the Aztecs to force overtime and then pull away and win seven, outscored CSU 17-10 or 11, I think, in overtime. So what was the good, the bad, and the ugly about that game?
Yeah, I mean, I think the good was pretty much when CSU was in the half court, they were able to score, I don't want to say at will, but you know, at a pretty good clip, especially considering San Diego State. In the half court, the Rams were really good, moved the ball well. You had a lot of guys, you know, Jalen Lake had his best offensive game. He seems to really be coming on. Isaiah Rivera was good. Cartier, you know, he didn't have a high volume of shots, but he was scoring efficiently, which, again, is a good sign against that defense. And then CSU's defense, I think, was pretty good, you know, for most of the night, really. the bad and how the game turned was on turnovers. And really the number of turnovers CSU had wasn't anything that alarming, as 14 in 45 minutes, which, again, especially against San Diego State, isn't that bad a number. The problem was they were, Nico Medved calls them catastrophic turnovers. A lot of, pick sixes, if you will, where CSU turned it over right midcourt and it led to a dunk, or, there's one that led to a wide open three. Those ones are killer, especially San Diego State, in the first 10 minutes of the second half, couldn't score at all. They couldn't do anything. But those turnovers really ignited, San Diego State ignited a comeback. When at one point the Rams looked fairly firmly in control.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And what's the magic number now for Isaiah Stevens? He's got to be getting very close to that assist record, Kevin. 11 assists for him last night. I mean, what are we in the single digits now? How many more does he need?
Awesome. I mean, he didn't have his best shooting night, but 11 assists and just one turnover against mostly Lamont Butler, who's one of the best defenders in the league. Really good game. So Isaiah is now one away from tying Ryan Yoder's assist record, two away, obviously, from breaking it. So that, knock on wood, barring anything, pretty terrible, Isaiah should break that on Saturday in Laramie. So, yeah, there's been a number that we've kind of all known would fall at some point, but now that's here, it's really impressive, especially, I think it's cool that Isaiah is doing it. You could argue he's playing the best ball of his career right now, so it's kind of cool that he's doing it, in that way.
Yeah, no doubt. Just, again, that UNLV game was special. The double-double last night was very good. Even on a night where he struggled from the three-point line, Kevin, he still put up 16 points. So Isaiah Stevens is just truly one of those great players that's going to go down in history as one of the greats for Colorado State, regardless of how this season goes. But plenty of season left for Colorado State, including a big one coming up on Saturday against their bitter rival in Wyoming. And Wyoming's kind of been in a tough spot the last few weeks, too.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about CSU's, misfortune with some injuries and various things happening. It's nothing as bad as Wyoming's. Wyoming's had a crazy run of stuff. It seems like every night they're missing, five, six players. Obviously, Graham Ike hasn't played all year. I don't expect to see him Saturday. Hunter Maldonado missed last game. I think he probably will play, but they've had quite a run, and they've been in some games. They just haven't been able to win them. So I think there's no doubt they'll be desperate to get their first Mountain West win and make it against CSU.
Yeah, you're right. Though Wyoming, they've just been they've been in a tough spot. Of course, Graham Ike at the beginning of the season, and then Hunter Maldonado dealing with some of his stuff. I mean, a lot of injuries for the Cowboys for sure, but still a big opportunity for CSU. Two big road tests coming up, as we talked about, Wyoming, and then a week. Then they get a week off. Is that right? They don't play again until the 28th against Boise State.
Yeah, kind of a bye week middle of next week, which is really good for CSU because, these are college kids. They're in really good shape. They recover quickly. But three straight overtime games, you have a lot of minutes on those legs. And, CSU is basically playing kind of eight-plus players, eight, and then, Baylor Hebb's getting a few minutes here and there. So, Isaiah Stevens is well over 120 minutes in the last three games combined. So, it's going to be tough Saturday in Wyoming for a lot of reasons. And then after that, I think there's no doubt, some of those guys like Isaiah Stevens, John Tonjay, those high usage guys are going to need a little break on the lake. So I think it's a pretty good time for CSU to have, quote unquote, a bye week.
Kevin, my man, what are you working on for us at the Colorado and that we can check out throughout the day and in leading us up to that Wyoming game?
Yeah, obviously right now I kind of have a full breakdown of what and how everything went down last night against San Diego State. And working on some other stuff. Isaiah Stevens related. I had a good chat with Nico Medved. He shared some pretty cool stories about sort of the early days of Isaiah Stevens at CSU. So I'll have that in a story when he does break that record, which, like I say, should be Saturday. So plenty of interesting stuff coming this weekend.
All right, my friend. Well, we'll see you later this afternoon for Rams Weekly, you and Chris Abshire. So we're looking forward to that as always. In the meantime, we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Sounds great. Thanks, Brady.
All right, Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. That's going to be, I'll be special for Isaiah if he can break the assist record against Wyoming on their floor. I mean, you want him to do it at home in front of your home court, but this is a nice little consolation prize. Do it against your rival there with the Wyoming Cowboys. Angel, Ian Rappaport just shared this moments ago. Let's make sure that's the right one. It is. John Harbaugh says, Lamar Jackson is our quarterback. There is a 200% chance that he stays. That's it. I mean, he's not going to say that. He's not going to put his neck out on the line if he knows something differently. Can't imagine. I mean, you just like your Dolphins saying Tua's our guy and nobody else. Lamar's doing, or the Ravens are doing the same thing. I think that's it.
It is interesting because I did just see a tweet because the GM and coach are doing their press conference, and he was asked about trading Lamar. And they said, it's not on the table right now. We're working on the long-term deal. Sounds like if they don't get a deal done, he's trading. Or they're going to franchise
tag
him.
They'll have to tag him and trade him or sign and trade or whatever. I don't know, though. I don't think.
The firing of the OC is interesting.
Yeah, and he said, of course, he said he'll be involved in the OC hire, too, Lamar. I don't think you're going to allow your head coach to go stick his neck out quite like that. I mean, Elway with Tebow was like, yeah, he's our quarterback. Well, because he was. He was under contract. Because you had to trade Tebow. I don't think management and such are going to let their respected coach that they love and John Harbaugh come out and say something like that, knowing there's a chance he's not coming back. Dude, Lamar's coming back. He's going to be with the Ravens next week or next year.
Do you think he resets the quarterback market?
Yeesh. Probably. If that's what he's wanting, and that's the only way that they're going to get him, and they say that they're going to get him, he's going to be paid. Who's the top paid right now? Is it Rodgers or is it Mahomes? He probably does. Which, as much as I like Lamar Jackson, I don't see why he should be the top paid quarterback. What is it? It's like Mahomes and Rodgers, Dak Prescott's up there. Some of those top quarterbacks. I mean, there's some interesting guys on this list. I don't see him reset. Maybe so. He probably does. You know, the highest quarterback, Rodgers is the highest paid right now. He's being paid what? He signed the 4-year, $200 million deal. Well, Russell Wilson's up there. Kyler Murray's up there. All three quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson's up there. No play. The top four quarterbacks, paid wise, did make the playoffs. Patrick Mahomes is fifth. Is that right?
Yep.
And then it's Josh Allen. And then it's Derek Carr. Wow. Stafford's up there. Dak Prescott. Look at these quarterbacks.
Jared Lamar's going to get $50 million a year.
That's just outrageous to me. Just totally bizarre world we're in. I mean, if that's what he's wanting, and
but
there's
is it smart to put that much money on that kind of quarterback?
No. I mean, hell, is it smart to do it with Rodgers?
Probably not.
Smart to do it with Russ?
Absolutely, 100% yes.
Yes? Smart to do it with Murray?
It was smart until he hurt his knee.
Watson?
No, that was dumb.
I don't know, man. Rodgers is making, what, just north of 50 mil?
Josh Allen's at 43 million right now.
Wow.
Does Lamar get more than Josh Allen?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Baltimore's going to give him 45 plus. They will. I'm telling you.
I know they will. It's just so dumb.
What I told you the other day, like, teams are more likely to just go all in on the guys that they know are somewhat proven rather than the what if. Because what if for Baltimore? What's the backup plan? The unknown. And they already have a guy that's good if he can stay healthy. All right, 12:52 the time. We need to take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll wrap up this hour. Moving on forward to the third and final hour, we'll talk all the things NFL, more on the Nuggets, the poll question, Sean Payton concerns, all that and more coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Lemons Heating and Cooling will get you rocking and rolling. Clark just popped by and said our heater was acting up here. So that's the thing. You don't want to have that. You don't want to have Clark come up to you in your home and say, hey, by the way, your guy's heater's not working. That's why you got to talk to our friends Lemons Heating and Cooling. If there's any issues, maybe you smell something funny, maybe it hasn't been running the right way, you got to talk to our guys there. Lemons Heating and Cooling, HVAC contractor in Greeley. Free estimates are available, too. That's Lemons Heating and Cooling. .com, air conditioning, heating, duct cleaning. You can also call them at 970-567-0798. Do me a favor. If you're in the market for these products that we talk about, and you like listening to the show, you like listening to the programs that are on this radio station each and every day, support these local businesses that support KFKA. Because without them going forward and doing what they do with us, we aren't able to bring you live and local radio on a daily basis. And then without our listeners being able to support those companies, you kind of get the deal. So do me a favor, talk to our friends, all of them. Cables Pub and Grill, Lemons Heating and Cooling, On the Rocks Liquor, you name it. We have a lot of great sponsors that we really appreciate here, and we would love it if you guys would go support them. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. When we come back in the third and final hour of the show today, we'll talk about the NFL, the playoffs. We're getting closer and closer to the divisional round weekend. More on the Denver Nuggets going forward. And my poll question of the day, talking about Sean Payton. You know, does his Bounty Gate background, are you concerned by it? Do you have any issue with his background and in terms of what it means for his status as the Broncos' next head coach? 1257 The Time. We'll be right back. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.